Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Culture City, a for-purpose organization that provides a place of acceptance and support for all autism families. For more information, visit culturecity.org.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Carmen DeVito.
And I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And we are the ladies of Groundworks, Inc. We design and build gardens in and around New York City. And our show aims to bring a little culture to horticulture. So we're on the final installment of the Botanical Beauty Series. We've been talking about beauty all month. I hope that you all have enjoyed it. Please reach out to us on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and let us know if you liked the topic and what if it was helpful to you. So today we have on the show, it's kind of a two-part show, we have two makers.
East Coast, West Coast.
Exactly. Two artisanal producers of natural beauty products. One is from the West Coast, and a couple of ladies are right here in Brooklyn, and they're going to share their stories of how and why they got started making the products and how they keep their businesses going. But before we jump into that, I just wanted to do a quick little shout out to Denny Edmondson, who's a fan that just wrote to us this week that she said she loves our show. And when she listens to the show, it makes her happy. So thanks, Denny, for reaching out and listening.
And I also wanted to mention there's a really great event tonight at the Old Stone House. My friend Claudia Joseph is the gardener there, and she has helped organize a permaculture event with a woman named Jillian Hovey, who is she's like a designer. She's been working in the field for many, many, many years, and she's going to talk about projects around the world and other events that are happening. So, check that out at the Old Stone House.
That's in Park Slope, Brooklyn.
Yep.
If you're around.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Ladies of Brooklyn Bar. That is the name of their company. It's founded by two ladies. One is named Itala Pelizzoli. She grew up in Lima, Peru, and came to New York in 1990 to study and stayed and got married. Got married to my cousin, as a matter of fact. Itala, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Sure. So besides co-founding Brooklyn Bar, Itala has a very interesting job. She's a demographer.
I actually had to ask Carmen what that was. Obviously, I understand the word demographics.
Right.
But what is a demographer?
I really use mainly data and graphics about things with the census and with what people are doing and characteristics of different populations. Like I mainly work with Italian Americans because I work for the Italian American Institute.
Okay.
So I can get information about how they're doing in education, in works, in income, how old that population are getting.
Right.
And that helps to other research to make more informative decisions on healthcare, sometimes in education.
Right. It's fascinating.
It is. How many babies we're having.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. But actually, it's interesting that the Italian population is growing, even though we don't have that many incoming Italians. People are recognizing at their ethnicity more, like they're showing themselves as Italian more in the census. so they good. Are getting acknowledged. That,
well, I'm all for that. That's good.
Yeah, of course.
Now, the other co-founder of Brooklyn Bar, Joanne Montalto, was born in Greece and came to New York City as a child. And after a long career in the dental field, she started Brooklyn Bar with Itala. So they met in 2008 when their boys were just 4 years old. They became great friends. And after many playdates and adventures together, they joked about going into business together. And the dream of soap making and handcrafting was born. So now they've been in business approaching 4 years, and they hand make all of their signature soaps, including their specialty and exfoliating bars themselves. They specialize in products containing shea butter, olive oil, and cocoa butter. And all of their products are formulated and packaged by hand by themselves in the heart of Brooklyn. And they can be found in carefully selected indoor, outdoor pop-up shops, markets, and different shows from Ridgewood in Queens to Park Slope and then parts of Manhattan. And I'm going to put something on Alice's hand on her arm right
Brooklyn
now.
Brooklyn Bar.
Now, I'm going to put this oil that I got from them a couple of weeks ago, and Alice is going to go crazy. I'm going to rub this on her arm right now.
Ooh, la la.
And smell that.
Go crazy, Allison, go crazy.
That is awesome.
Okay,
seriously, what is that?
Okay,
citrus?
This product is this oil, scented body oil called Tropic.
Oh.
And I thought of you, Alice. I said, Alice
oh
hates
God.
The winter, so I've
this
been rubbing
just
it.
Took me away.
I know.
This is so amazing.
So we're scenting the studio
and
right now.
And I have
now.
To say, the Brooklyn Bar
lip balm,
pink lip balm is my absolute favorite.
Yeah,
I love that product.
So, how did you guys get started? Tell us, like, why you decided to start. You started with soap. Tell us how you got started and why you wanted to do this.
Hi, ladies. It's Joanne. So I will begin. I will let you guys know that we began in 2011. We wanted to make natural products more accessible, and we also wanted to show our creative talents as well. We felt that the big chain stores just weren't delivering, and we knew we could develop more of what we all were looking for.
Uh-huh.
So something more simple and more natural and just good for you and for the entire family, because everybody uses it. So we started with soap bars, and that's how the brand Brooklyn Bar Body and Bath got its name, from the soap bars. So then we developed some basic products, and about a year later, we became a licensed corporation currently owned and operated by two very busy women.
We know what that's like.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the ingredients and how you chose them.
Of course. Some of our main ingredients that we truly believe in are coconut oil, which we believe it's liquid gold for sure. Whether you eat it or you use it in your body products, it's fantastic. We also believe in shea butter and raw cocoa butter and, of course, virgin olive oil. And with those four basic ingredients, it's spun off. We use a lot of essential oils as well. And with all of these main characters, we tend to spread throughout our entire product line. So you will find them in most of our product line, if not all the products. We are also big fans of some special ingredients that have some amazing benefits, like activated charcoal powder, rosehip oil, and the natural vitamin E, which is jojoba oil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's natural. So we use that in everything. And we can't forget the salts that are harvested from the Dead Sea and the Himalayas. Those are extremely beneficial, so we use them throughout as well.
And tell us about the manufacturing. Like, you're in your basement and the magic is happening?
Yeah. The magic happens while we're sleeping. It's in our head. It doesn't go. We do have a designated area that, because we do work with 60 pounds of product at a time, and we, by hand, small batches, can produce 200 bars at a time. So uh-huh. We have a bigger area than just your average kitchen,
right?
If you will. And that's where the magic happens, and a lot of it just we collaborate, and a new product is born.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot of research on the computer, because we want to make sure we know what the product consists of and the ingredients, what they're beneficial for.
So while you both don't have specific training in the cosmetic industry, just by educating yourselves, doing research, you develop these products yourselves. Figure out how to make soap, how to make the lotion, how to make it like function well.
Uh-huh.
You know, the proportions, right? Like, you had to literally develop...
Most of it is just trying it on ourselves and getting our family involved and asking them to test the product.
Right.
And a lot of it just comes from our gut.
Yeah.
And I would just have to tell you, Joanne is a very good cook. And she, like, really, really, you know, and creating these products like cooking, you know, you just add, and, you know, when you cook, you create, you add some things. It, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And we make a lot of research about the oils that we use or butters. And at the beginning, we had to take a class, you know, how to make soap, because we didn't know.
Yeah.
But once you take the basic class, then everything else is just your creative and, you know, your research.
And a lot of it is science. That's where Itala comes in with her fancy science and numbers. That all helps. So together, we're Brooklyn Bar.
Yeah, to do bars of soap, you really need to be careful with the lye. So you need calculators. But once you know how to do it...
trial and error, basically.
And where are you sourcing the products from?
We're sourcing them from other local areas, and we can't tell you too much because you will know our secret. We can say that our shea butter does come from Africa.
Okay. You know, and then do you have a big demand for... different, like, is there a product that people are asking you for, like lavender? I know there's, like, kind of trends in
no, you'd be surprised that they come in thinking that they want lavender or something that they're more comfortable and familiar with, like lemongrass, which we adore and it's classic, but then we'll introduce them to something new and they'll fall in love, like the tropic.
I know.
That's something nobody can find anywhere else, and we do limit that one because it comes out during the warmer months.
Okay, I've got...
So it's limited edition, but I see what you're saying. As far as the scent, it has to do with what mood they're in at that moment or the particular season, particular person. But in general, we find that most people are seeking moisture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Whether it's the body or the feet or the face. They're lacking moisture, and you can get that from all our products, including our moisturizing soap bars.
Right.
It's not just about cleaning or exfoliating. Everything leaves you with the moisture.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, you know, now that we're entering winter, I was actually just thinking about that this morning because I put, like, 3 applications of cream on my face, moisturizer. I was like, oh, my God, what's happening to me?
Yeah, you know? It just doesn't, it's so dry. The air is so dry, and I wash my face with some of your soaps, and it is great because it doesn't strip it away.
You know,
I love the combinations. That I think one of the most interesting parts for me is the scent combinations.
Yeah, talk about some of those.
Because you guys come up with some really, you know, non-standard, like really creative combinations
of
scent.
Talk about some of those.
Yeah.
Well, we have the classics like lemongrass. We started with that. And then we particularly like certain things, so we start with what we like. For instance, one of our signature combination from 2011, is that how far back we would go, would be the lemongrass, and then would be the bergamot grapefruit.
Oh,
we put those two essential oils together, and they just have, you know, some kind of a depth and an earthiness to them. And it's good for men and women. It just captures. And then from there, we keep going. A lot of it, though, is from our customers that they stop by our pop-up shops and they make suggestions or requests even.
Yeah.
And one funny story, right, Itala, would be the rose. People wanted rose. And after a while, a lot of people were asking for rose. And we assured them it will not be part of our product line. We don't do the rose.
Yeah.
Needless to say,
because you're not 85-year-old ladies.
We found a rose that smelled so beautiful and so real and not fake, and we call it our Bulgarian rose, and it's a big hit, and a lot of people are buying it either for themselves, and they're surprised, or they'll buy it for presents.
Right, because you do think rose is kind of a grandma kind of scent, you know?
Not ours.
No, exactly.
I'm not a rose person, but
me either.
This rose I really like.
Yeah, very classy and... And modern.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we spoke about this actually at one point a few years ago when I was at one of your pop-up shops. Linden. That Do you ever get any requests for linden? Because that is the most amazing smell, and it used to be very popular, and it's kind of hard to find now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, linden seed oil happens to be about $1,200 for 16 ounces.
And it
will not
why.
Go far. So that's, unfortunately, that's one of the essential oils we don't see. Have, again, like the rose, you never know in the future. But $1,000 for 16 ounces, we don't feel it's cost effective.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right.
No, that's totally understandable. So you guys have grown in the past 4 years. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges in developing and growing the brand? You know, you have a lot of competition from the big brands. There's other companies that are doing, you know, not exactly the same thing, but similar things. How do you guys make it work? Hello? Have we lost you?
Oh, no.
The phone. Our key factor here is trying to continue to be preservative-free.
Oh,
That's it. We stay away from manufactured preservatives. We don't even use common ingredients like water or alcohol. Many people use that as fillers or preservatives. We don't, because we feel they are counterproductive in retaining moisture in the product, and that's mainly it. And another challenge we face is developing a product that works to our high standards before we introduce it to the public. Even if it comes down to just the packaging or the label, sometimes that'll take the longest to expedite. Sometimes we just put a pin in it and get back to it at a later time. And another challenge and a main factor is our entire brand line is to try to make everything affordable for you while we keep it cost effective. So that's a big challenge, but we seem to have gotten it down pat.
And you're selling directly to the consumer. You know, you're making a conscious choice to sell directly to the consumer, to educate the consumer. And so, you know, people, you know, you don't have to deal with distribution and, you know.
Well, and they're in volume discounts.
And volume discounts.
It becomes exhausting.
And all that.
And you know what? It's very satisfying because you can actually talk to the consumer and know what they want and explain your product, how to use it. And when they get back to you and they come back again and say, like, oh, I love it. I need another one. Do you have another product? And, you know, it's really satisfying. And it's like a therapy for us, I think, you know, talking to all these people.
Absolutely, I think that's probably the most important part, actually. Carmen and I had a soil product for a while, and we were so excited we got picked up by a big brand name, a very, very big brand name. And we went national for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it was on. We made no money. And it was the most stressful thing.
It was very stressful.
Because of the shipping regulations.
Oh, and all the distributors want it packaged a certain way. And then they
The legality of it.
It was, when we were selling to the mom and pops, it was fun. We'd package it up. We brought it. It was like this.
And we had contact with our clients.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was like enticing and fun to think about, like, oh my God, our soil is in Vancouver and it's in Dubai and it's in Australia. And then all of a sudden, we don't want to do this anymore. This is not.
Yeah.
It takes the joy away.
Yes.
It gets to the point you don't want that. You want the joy in there.
Right.
So you guys have expanded well beyond soaps. Can you tell us a little bit about what new items? At the last market I saw you guys, you had a lot of interesting new items besides these scented oils that were interesting.
The scented oils are great because a lot of people like the scent, so carry it with you. It only has two ingredients, and then you can just, and it's very affordable, and you can take it out of your purse or pocket and apply. It's coconut oil and a scent. So that went over really well. They also make great gifts. We have the face glow. We didn't expect it to be that great, and it turned out to be one of the top sellers. It's a product that we felt it was needed because people were asking for scrubs, but our exfoliating soaps do that. So we created a gentle face polish. It's a very fine Himalayan salt powder. It's not abrasive, so it removes the top layer of your skin. It's very fine. It's very beneficial because it has 82 essential oils. 82 minerals in it, so our body depletes it every day, so this replenishes.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a bright glow. In a new cell turnover, and we use very fine oils in there that are rich and not clogging. And we have to say, you do get very noticeable results.
Where can I go buy this stuff like today?
Okay, I just want to add to that that our latest line just came out in September. Drum roll, please. Will be our candles.
Yes,
we have introduced our candles. It's a whole new line, and it's called Stoked. We're stoked about them. And they're pretty awesome. And we have the seasonal scents for now. And
I know you had one called Acorn. Which I really loved. I thought that was
We have our favorites. So acorn is one of them. Yeah. It almost smells like a teak wood, perfect for this time.
Yeah.
The fig and berry is lovely for now. It's sweet. It's earthy.
And there's no pumpkin spice anywhere to be found.
You're not. Yeah.
No pine.
We're not going to do the sweet.
I'm so glad.
Basics.
I'm so glad.
We're more like Tuscan blood orange, so you can have that citrus and freshness and earthiness. And and we have to say that they're 100% natural soy wax, so it's a cleaner burn, healthier, a better burn, and our candles burn evenly. And we do have cotton wicks, and we don't put, there's no lead core in it, so it's a clean candle, and it's a good candle.
And awesome. Beautiful, too. Beautiful packaging.
Oh, thank you.
I think
those
are going to be
like
very
and
popular.
And everything you can find, basically, we're still working on our website, brooklyn-bar.com.
Okay.
But you'll find the links to order from our shop on 11 Main, which is 11main.com. Also, you'll find the link on our website for our Facebook page, and there you can learn more about Brooklyn Bar. Most importantly, you get updates on our next market or event where we encourage you and invite you to come. You can come and test all our products. You can inquire about our products, and please, we encourage you to smell everything and try it on. And we currently have accounts pending to put our products in some lovely shops in the Bay Ridge and Park Slope areas, and we'll post that on Facebook soon.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad that you guys were able to make the time to be with us today and tell us about the product, and I hope you have a really good holiday season.
Yeah.
Thank you,
guys.
We appreciate this opportunity.
Sure.
Oh,
okay.
And I have to say one more time, the
lip balm,
the viscosity, the viscosity of the lip balm is my favorite thing.
In fact,
I bought like 6 or 7.
Alice goes through the lip balm.
Really?
She does.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the cherry that you liked?
Is it the cherry? I think
pink?
it's the light pink one.
Yeah, cherry.
I need 10 more. I'm coming. Like, it's it's amazing stuff. I love it.
We work just for you.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, ladies. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a little break now. Stay tuned to We Do Plants. We're going to have another maker on the second half of the show talking about making artisanal products. Stay on the line.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah.
Hi, this is Dave Arnold from Cooking Issues, and I'm here to talk to you about the Museum of Food and Drink, which is finally getting a brick-and-mortar space right here in Brooklyn, New York. So the Museum of Food and Drink is opening the MOFAD Lab, our first laboratory and gallery space, where we will be putting on an exhibition called Making It or Faking It, the History of the Flavor Industry. It tackles a very important topic, which is how the food system got to be the way it is now. As a result of the intervention of the flavor industry, how that happened. Get your tickets at tickets.mofad.org to come see the first exhibit ever of the Museum of Food and Drink at the MOFAD Lab, brought to you by Infinity on 62 Bayard Street.
Oh, come on and leave your worries at the door. Yeah, I said, oh, wah, wah.
Today's
program is proudly brought to you by Culture City, a for-purpose organization that provides a place of acceptance and support for all autism families. This is Culture City's founder, Julian Maha.
Culture City was really born out of necessity. You know, it was born when my, currently six-year-old boy was diagnosed with autism. His name is Abram and he's nonverbal. And even though my wife and I were both physicians at the time, it was really hard for us to find any resources at that point to help him. All the other organizations out there that we know of, they do phenomenal work, but their main focus is basically finding a cure for autism. Our main focus is basically trying to prepare the community to accept not only children with autism, but their families as well. You know, in addition to that, we also want to provide help to these families in the here and now. You know, so tangible things like, you know, iPads for nonverbal kids, you know, financial scholarships, therapy scholarships, you know, art camps, and also some lecture series that can teach parents about, you know, dietary issues, you know, how to financially plan and things like that.
For more information, visit culturecity.org.
Welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. Our guest on this half of the show is Jen Lee Segal, founder of Garden Apothecary, garden and beauty shop located in beautiful Half Moon Bay, California.
Let me tell you a little bit about Jen. Jen, are you on the line?
I am.
Great. Hi. You sound great.
Hi.
So I'm so glad you could join us today. Jennifer Lee Segal wears many hats. She's a professional horticulturist, and in 2000, she started an organic landscape design and consulting company that specializes in coastal plantings, vertical gardens, and unique plant sourcing. Garden Apothecary offers excellent design and consulting services for garden landscape needs with a focus on plant and soil care. Since 2002, Jennifer has also been a garden writer for publications such as HMB Review, People Magazine, Common Ground, and Pacific Horticulture. You can also find Jen's writing on her garden blog, along with her ebook series, Botanically Belize. Now, in 2008, Jennifer launched an organic bath and beauty company called Garden Apothecary, crafting handmade, small-batch botanical products for the face and body, with organic whole botanicals being the focus on the product crafting. Garden Apothecary excels in bringing wholesome organic products into homes all over the world and has been featured in popular magazines such as People and Vogue. Jen lives in Half Moon Bay, California with a gaggle of plants, dogs, chickens, and honeybees. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful life?
Oh, that's ideal. That's my dream.
So Jen, tell us how you started the beauty products part of the business and why you decided to start it.
Well, you know, I started it around 2008, I want to say. I had been doing landscape design before that and a lot of plant propagation and a lot of different growing. And I still, that's kind of a separate company that I still do. But, you know, I just found that I didn't like any of the products I was finding on the market, basically.
Yeah.
You know, my sister and I love, you know, beauty products. Like, who doesn't love skincare products? You know, it's so indulgent, and every once in a while you just want to go and, like, shop for all these great goodies. But being
Drop a ton of money into organics,
I wasn't really finding, you know, what I wanted and what I thought was good. And you buy something that says, you know, it's rose, and then you realize, well, it's actually just an amalgam of different fragrances. And, you know, being gardeners, like, we know what rose smells like.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I really wanted to create products that were actually from the botanicals, you know, that are listed.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of how that started, was just really supposed to be kind of for me, my sister, friends, family, and then it, you know, tumbled from there as it often does.
So tell us, what are some of your best sellers?
By far, our best seller, we have a proprietary blend that I made, and it's called Cacao Cardamom. And
wow.
It's basically, it's in a bath tea, it's in a massage oil, it's in a mist, a perfume. And, you know, you have that really nice, rich, undertone of cacao, which is where chocolate comes from, right?
Right.
You have that nice kind of oily, nutty, chocolatey smell, but then the cardamom really cuts it and gets kind of that, instead of a throaty fragrance, almost up in your sinuses, it gets that nice, really crisp, almost citrusy
clean fragrance. Mm-hmm. And then the third blend to that is Blue Tansy, which is just a really cloying, beautiful, almost like a violet fragrance. Hmm. So you have these three perspectives, and it's just when it reacts with the pH on your skin, it's absolutely incredible. And so that's probably our best seller.
And that, you said, it comes in. See, that's what I love about these artisanal makers, is that when you go to a typical drugstore or even like a health food store to find, yeah, you know, products, they have these like
heavy
and cloying and artificial scents that I can't, yeah, stand. And like you, Jen, we know what these things really smell like.
Yeah.
So when exactly. you see these artificial scents, and they make, and sometimes they combine bizarre plants that don't go together at all,
right,
you know, like vanilla, yeah, and some other, you know, vanilla tangerine or some like weird,
yeah,
combination.
Well, and I think,
you know,
they're doing that because it's like this industry of people, you know, who are from the cosmetics industry, and they're looking at, okay, what is selling for cut flowers, what is selling in fragrance, and they're just making these blends. But what I always talk about, what's different about my company is, you know, I'm not a skincare guru necessarily. I'm a gardener.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, I'm always coming from the plant's perspective and really making sure that, like, you know, things actually go together well.
Right, right.
Now, your shop where you sell your botanicals, you sell a lot of other items too. You sell garden items, you sell plants.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful shop. It's so sweet.
Thank
we posted
you.
A couple of photos of it yesterday, mm-hmm, on our Facebook page to
awesome.
Sort of whet people's appetite.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of cool stuff. How do you feel that you have like a design philosophy that kind of ties all the product lines and all the things that you sell together?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's so much of a, you know, as much of a philosophy as it is just like obsession, but I guess one and the same. Yeah, everything, you know, everything is plant-based. Everything is really like, in my world, it's all about the plants. And so the other things that we have in the shop are really supporting people's like connection to nature and plants. So, the gardening tools, I have these beautiful copper hand-forged gardening tools that we designed and carry, you know, and that, those are only based off of because I know I want a trowel and a cultivator that's actually going to work and last and, you know, why not look beautiful at the same time?
So yeah, yeah.
All of the other little items that we have in the shop are really just supporting people getting into their gardens or having something beautiful that they can have in their home that just, you know, some people aren't into gardening, which is like shocking and crazy, but
know, what?
having an item, you know, in the house that can at least get them connected in that way is awesome too. So that's what we provide.
Well, I think a lot of people want to be involved, and that's what's, but I think, you know, they might be nervous. Oh, I've got the dreaded brown thumb, you know, like,
sure.
But, and
sure.
That's what's nice about the other products is it's a way of getting people involved, you know, and that's what food does too. And
it's,
you know,
a way of connecting.
It's a way
definitely.
Of connecting to people.
I'll give you an example. My sister is the quintessential brown thumb, right?
Well, she, you know, whatever that means, right?
Right. I mean, she's self-described,
yeah,
you know? And the way I started by accident, I introduced a plant into her house. There was nothing living in her house, Jen. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
So I brought, so there was a plant that had outgrown my bedroom. I said, oh, you've got a really sunny kitchen. I dragged it up the stairs and I plopped it there, right?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, I'm going to kill it. I said, no, you're not. You have the perfect conditions to grow this ficus.
Right.
It was a ficus lyrata, one of my favorite indoor plants.
Yeah.
And she, and I have slowly added plants to her. Like,
uh-huh,
every holiday, I will bring her something. And she,
it's just your leftover dregs.
No. Well, I pick out special things that I think she can't kill.
Right.
And she's had so much success. Now she has like five or six house plants.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
year I bought her two planters for her balcony,
uh-huh,
and I picked out plants that, you know, she kept most of them alive.
Uh-huh.
She did pretty well. And I think you need those like successful moments,
mm-hmm,
you know, to sort of encourage you and to say, I can do it. So it started with one, and now she has agaves, she has little aloes in her
nice.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
She even has an orchid. A tiny little orchid that I gave her that she was like, oh, I can't kill this, you know? And I knew that we had turned the corner when she went on vacation and she said to me, make sure that you water the orchid this amount. And you like, you know,
like, you're like, you're preaching to the choir.
And I said, no, I understand. Cause she felt so much like personal pride in keeping that alive for the year that she had it, that I was really glad that I felt like I had converted another person. So I think with your shop, what you're saying really rings true, because although you're in Northern California, right?
I am.
So everything grows there, right? I mean, like, that's like the, you know, it's like the forest.
It's like the Holy Grail.
Yeah, it's the Garden of Eden. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's how we think of it. I mean, I know you guys are struggling now with droughts and with a lot of other things.
We are, The drought, you know, the drought is a huge struggle, but you know, we do have, we're really fortunate and everything's pretty temperate and, you know, we can grow things. We're definitely not like closing up the shutters and stopping the growing season. I mean, it's, you know, even though we're about to get into November, it's like, we still have some ways to go. So we're lucky with that. But, you know, I'm in a little kind of seaside coastal town. And so we have to watch for salt winds. It's very dry. You know, there's different little kind of nuances of it. But to your point of your experience with your sister, I find that with my landscaping customers, I tend to kind of do the same, but then I plant the seed. You know, I have one customer who for a year, I've been working with her for about 6 years, and she wouldn't even go out and look at the roses, let alone pick one or know the varieties or anything like that. It just wasn't, she wasn't interested. And slowly but surely, I kept kind of saying, oh, you know, I kept saying your garden is really great for the roses. They just, they're really happier. And then I switched it to, you're really good with roses. You're you just have really good luck with roses. And now, you know, just recently I kind of heard her tell her neighbor, I guess I'm just great with roses. Kind of sometimes like changing the language around all of that. I think gardening has been like a little exclusive for a certain amount of years and it seems a little fussy, but kind of changing the language and planting that seed to people makes it more inclusive, you know, and then they learn and they figure it out.
So tell us about some of your other combinations and fragrance preferences.
Yeah, we have probably our second bestseller is what I call rose leaf. And that comes again in a beautiful mist for the face and body, a nice perfume. It comes in a bath tea, all kinds of things. And basically, it's pretty simple. It really is just the rose, but it's the entire essence of the rose, meaning, you know, we're not cutting it with any other, with ginger or anything else that can kind of sometimes smell like rose. We're doing straight rose petal absolute oil, which is a really strong, beautiful oil. But then I cut that with a waxy resin that's actually distilled from the leaf of the rose. And that's interesting because you really don't find that on the market. It comes almost like a beeswax. We have to heat it up and combine it with the more liquid rose oil, and it adds like a really fruity scent to it. So it doesn't, it's not that grandma's rose perfume scent. It's really, it's almost like a fruitier, deep rose. So that's, people have just been absolutely loving that.
And you're making these, right? Yourself?
Yeah, we hand make all of it. Yeah, and with, I have two different companies, two sets of employees. You know, one set gets dirty and does the gardening, and the other is helping make products and in the shop and doing all the pretty stuff. But when we have these big orders, everyone comes together.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Know,
yeah,
my guys in the field, like we're all, you know, we wash our hands, put on gloves, and we all make. So it's kind of a cool collaboration.
Are you in an industrial kitchen?
The property I'm on, which actually is my home is on too, is zoned residential and commercial. So I converted my 3-car garage to an office and then also our little lab space. And then any of the tea work we do, we work out of a certified commercial kitchen right down the street. One of the restaurants actually allows us to use their facility there too. So we're literally making products and walking them a block and a half to the shop.
That's so lovely. Like, what a lovely life.
We don't even like drive them.
Wow. What a lovely life.
That's very local. Talk about, you know, you can say this was literally made on the, you know, within like 100, 200 feet, right?
I thought you were going to say, exactly. I thought you were going to say that you guys had a mobile home, as in Breaking Bad.
maybe that's next year.
That would actually be really hilarious.
Right.
Like a
mobile beauty lab.
A mobile beauty lab.
Heard about it here first. So,
totally.
But that's not all that Jen does.
Right.
We have to talk about Jen's botanizing.
And Belize.
In Belize. In fact, that's how I found you, Jen. Your blog, Botanically Belize. Tell us about that and why you chose Belize and how that informed your beauty products.
Yeah, that really changed my life and my profession. My boyfriend at the time, my now husband, it was our first trip, and we were going to see if we actually liked each other on vacation.
Very important.
And I picked Belize because I just heard little good things about it, like the caves and the waterfalls and all that. And we were there for about 3 weeks. And it was during the 2012 kind of Mayan crossover. And so we just got, which wasn't planned. It was just happened to be the case.
Right.
And we traveled through Belize and Guatemala and got to experience a bunch of incredible things. But I was really starting to research and read about cacao Thea Broma and how chocolate is made. And there's a huge mine community in Belize. Uh-huh. And so I kept just asking, when we were at bars, when we were anywhere, anywhere we were, farmers markets, saying, where are the chocolate growers? And it was the 2012 New Year's Day, and someone said, I have a phone number. His name is Eladio Pop, and you can drive down. It's going to be like a 6-hour drive, but you can drive to his farm. And so we did, and he was gracious enough to give me this entire tour of his cacao farm. And then we spent basically the day with him learning the traditional Mayan elixir of how you consume cacao through drinks and little dry patties they make and all of it. And it was just so beautiful. It's such a really cool tree that, in my profession, I just have never seen a tree grow like that. And I didn't really have any tropical or semi-tropical experience. So it was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Can you grow the tree? Do you have one?
I have one in my living room.
Uh-huh.
I do have one in my living room. It does flower. It takes a really small, tiny little fly to pollinate, so I'm sure it's not going to pollinate. But, it's here in California, if I was fussy about it, I could probably get it outside and get it to do something. But it's mostly, the leaves are also medicinal, too, so we get to use the leaves from time to time. But it mostly that year really set off. I've gone back multiple times every year since, and just have met more and more people, and some of which are just farmers and growers. Some are bush medicine healers who really work with teas and different medicinal herbs. I work with a Mayan shaman who is gracious enough to just let me record her, and we just talk about plants, and it's just such an interesting, there's lots of language barriers, but it's interesting to just learn other people's perspective.
Oh, it's the best
how
part.
They work with plants.
It's the best part
passion,
of travel.
You know?
Yeah, it's the best part of travel. That's awesome. I feel like just talking with you, you've broadened my horizon for the day, and
thank you.
It's been lovely hearing about all of your work, and I can just imagine your cute little house and home. And
well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So, your products are available at the shop. Do you also sell to other stores, or
we have a really good online presence too. You can find us at gardenapothecary.com.
Okay.
And we ship worldwide. I just shipped a big box to Norway. So we ship all over, and we obviously still do have the shop, and sometimes we go to little farmers markets and things like that. We're in different shops across the nation, but I would say the easiest way to go is do some easy online shopping there at the website.
Right. And so you are, traditionally, you're a horticulturalist. Where did you go to school?
You know, I went to school. I went to different certification in California. I went to, I got certified through the state for soil science and things like that. I really didn't, my horticulture and then subsequently like botany experience hasn't been through school.
It's really been
through hands-on. I mean, right now, you know, I'm enrolled in the New England Herbal Academy to do some advanced clinical herbalism lessons and things like that, but I tend to not focus a ton on that because I really found I actually had a great horticulture professor who had a huge poster that said study nature, not book.
Yeah. it's true.
So, you know, yeah, it's true. It really is true. I mean, you can't beat an amazing education, of course, but my education and experience really has been through hands-on and just getting dirty and working with different farmers and growers.
That's what Carmen and I mean, we have a 20-year-old business here in New York, and really our education, yes, we took classes and we got, you know, we went through the certification at New York Botanic Garden, but really it's going to nurseries and just learning
and working with the plants
and working with
every
the
day.
Plants and the nurserymen
exactly.
and finding out what grows and what doesn't grow, and you know, it's just hands-on experience is really the best teacher.
I think that's good to emphasize because I think it's so easy to you know, go online or go to a great series of classes and of course, like, you're gonna definitely be learning, but there's nothing like, you know, working in a nursery, doing an internship for a farmer. I mean, there is some real life stuff that you just, it is in no book.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
As you ladies know. So it's,
just like
you don't feel the best way to learn.
And I agree about business too. I mean, you can go get your MBA and know how to, but so many entrepreneurs don't have a business degree.
No.
They just learn it.
Sure.
They learn it, you know, they
it's
bootstrap
a hard knock
it.
Life.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really great to hear other stories like yours and to share it with our listeners because we want to support more people going into this field, you know, and to know that it is possible and it is to be, and it is great to be diverse and to do lots of different things, you know, within the field of plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you are.
And the beautiful thing of it is it's just so, no one will ever in their lifetime get sick of it. You know, there's just, there's so much to do. You know, I was so happy with just doing landscape design, which I'm still happy doing. It's been 15 years. I was 18 years old when I started my company. And, you know, I love it, but going to Belize and really kind of upscaling, like, my second garden apothecary company and creating these products and continuing to travel and just, you know, hear about people's passions and how they use plants, it's like, it's endless, you know, and that's something that I think everyone has access to, whether they want to do it, you know, in a classroom or beyond.
Well, I think plants are the connector, you know, between culture and people. And, you know, I think you really learn so much about the world through plants. I think, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what's interesting, and I think it's really coming to a head now, is in the United States, you know, it's such a young country, you know, a young nation compared to the rest of the world, right?
Sure,
and the rest of the world has these deep ties to plants, whether it's something as simple as tea every day, multiple times a day, or, you know, or lentils or different types of food and things like that. And we have that in a lot of respects, but I think people are still, you know, looking for this connection and almost looking for, you know, a cultural connection too. And everyone has it. It's just our country doesn't often emphasize it other than something like gardening. And so it really is, you know, gardening is an awesome gateway drug, as I like to say.
Yeah.
That's exactly
That's exactly it, Jen. That's a great way to end it, Jen. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but we're so glad that you joined us today. Thank you so much for being on We Dig Plants. I think we're kindred spirits here.
And what's your contact information? How can people, is it gardenapothecary.com?
Gardenapothecary.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
great.
Thanks. You've been listening
awesome.
To...
Thank you, ladies.
Okay, enjoy. So you've been listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network, written and produced by Carmen DeVito and Alice Krieg. Please remember to join our Facebook fan page, Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants, to stay current on our projects and upcoming shows, or follow us on Twitter at We Dig Plants.
And Instagram.
Yes.
Groundworks Gardens NYC.
Thanks for listening. See you in the
garden.
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awaeli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.